It's a couple of old mates in church I haven't seen for a while. Nice to see you again. Good to see Liberia on the screen, Susan. So good, hey? I'm going to come down here. I feel like I'm too far away. So good. So watching those Leaping to Spring videos was nice for... I've been to like every Africa trip thus far, except for the last one. And the reason for that is that my daughter gets married in 2 weeks' time, and she said, every time you come back from Africa, you're sick, and I don't want you to be sick for the wedding. So I said, well, I can do that. So pray for me. 2 weeks' time, some of us actually fly over, and my daughter gets married on the 30th of November. And in 7 months' time, I have my son and his fiancée, Amber, who also get married. So, yeah, I've actually, Bree, one of our staff members at Fremantle and here who helps with events, she's actually given me a belated birthday present. And on that, today is 229 days until my freedom, when I kick both my children out completely. So that's funny, hey? All right, so I like a little bit of interaction when I'm speaking, so I'm really happy for you to say something to me. Right, Anthony? How's the soccer going? Good, good. Good to see your smiling face. All right, so let's pray, hey? Lord, we thank you that you're an amazing God. And we thank you, Lord, for today. And we thank you for every person that's a part of C3 Wellart. And we thank you, Lord, that... it's no accident that we are here. And we thank you, Lord, for growth and increase. And we thank you, Father, that you have your hand on this place. And we will see you move in this whole area in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. You know what? If I start now, we might get out early. What do you think? Anyway. All right. So, the title of my message is Freedom Through Obedience, but don't worry, it's not a heavy message, it's going to be good. So come with me to Acts 12, let's read a few verses and see how we go. Acts 12, NLT, and while you're looking that up, for those of you, I don't hear any rustling papers, so all of you must have technology sorted. So... you got it on the screen. Yeah, we're all pretty lazy here, aren't we? Just look at the screen. That's okay. You can do that too. So while you're doing that, what kind of exercise do lazy people do? Diddly squat. Okay, so there we go. A bit of fun to start off. Acts 12, 1 to 5. About that time, King Herod Agrippa began to persecute some believers in the church. He had the apostle James, John's brother, killed with a sword. When Herod saw how much this pleased the Jewish leaders, he arrested Peter during the Passover celebration and imprisoned him, placing him under the guard of four squads of four soldiers each. Herod's intention was to bring Peter out for public trial after the Passover. But while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very, very earnestly for him. All right, so... I'll read a bit more in a little while. About that time, King Herod Agrippa began to persecute some believers in the church. Herod intended to persecute the church. He had actually murderous intentions for certain people in the church. Can I say that no matter how bad it seems, God's purpose will always overrule human intention. So whatever's happening in your world right now, however bad you feel, whatever someone is doing to you, God's purpose will overrule every human intention that is meant for evil against you. No matter what people can do to you, no matter how they may conspire against you, all of it is working for the purpose of God, who is greater than any person. And in the process, you will grow in your faith. So are we ready for a great message this morning? And so when Andrew and I were going through planning approval, actually Caroline's husband was involved in that, Caroline singing this morning, for our Fremantle facility, Wellard was relatively simple. You know why? Because we'd already taken ground. It took us 9 banks to actually, which seems to be familiar because that's what it took at Fremantle as well before we actually got approval to acquire this facility. Is anyone glad they've got their own facility here at Wellard? So that's pretty cool. So not bad, hey? Not bad. All right, so who's grateful for the leadership of C3 Church? Now you guys can live in comfort. This is cooler than Frio, I reckon. The temperature, so nice. And we're working on the kids. I know Barry's put some fans up next door. Thank you, Barry. And we're working on cooling that down because we realise that that's important as well. Where was I? So when we were applying for planning approval, Andrew and I at Fremantle, we were bombarded with flack from others. This is around 25 years ago now. And most of that was most of what was said was really because there was a change of local council members were being, you know, it was that time where they changed over. And so people wanted to be, the councillors wanted to go with a popular vote. And who knows, that church wasn't really popular, especially in Fremantle. It was kind of like, well, what do we need another church for? We've already got churches. Who knows that when you've got the life of God in you, everyone needs a church. And the church does help the community, and I'm grateful for that. And so it became quite political. And a lot of words spoken by people in authority at that time, over 25 years ago now, they were rude to us. I remember one time, Andrea actually needed to consult a couple of the councillors, and that she went around to where they were, and she actually got literally just abuse to her face, and she had to leave there, and she was shaken up. Understandably, and a lot of things said were outright lies, and similar to the words that would have been spoken over Peter at this time. The words should never have been spoken, but they were, and like it would have shaken Peter up, it shook Andrew and I up, there's no doubt about it. But a few months later, what was meant for harm to stop the purposes of God. You know, when you feel like there's no way out, when you feel like you're going down a road and you're wondering whether you've made a huge mistake. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like, why did I make that decision? Why did I go down that path? What was meant to harm and stop the purposes of God and perhaps even halt our future, it was in the hands of these counselors. God turned around for good. God made a way where we could not. God changed people's minds in authority. God enabled planning approval for both the church and the childcare. God is greater than any person. Can we give God some thanks this morning? God is greater than any person. If God is for me, who can be against me? Has anyone got God on their side this morning? If God is, who can be against me? And so you may try and stand and speak against me, but in the end, it will be God's purpose that will prevail. Thank you, Lord, today for every person in C3 Wellard and where their journey's at. And we thank you, Lord, that their faith will rise today in Jesus' name. Acts 12:2, he had the apostle James, John's brother, killed with a sword. They would have seen this. This is quite serious. Would you agree? Look at what happens next. Verse 3. When Herod saw how much this pleased the Jewish leaders, he arrested Peter during the Passover celebration and imprisoned him, placing him under the guard of 4 squads of 4 soldiers each. Herod's intention was to bring Peter out for public trial after the Passover, but while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. Can you see what is happening here? We have like a fight against good and evil. It's kind of like we're in the cage and who's going to win? It's a really interesting, it's a brawl. And the Bible says the church prayed very earnestly. This was not a quick prayer. It's not a quiet whisper to God. I was talking to Mel and saying that she's running the Wednesday morning prayer meetings, and I think that's incredible. Who knows that when we pray earnestly, there are things that can shift that we can't on our own. And so it is a very earnest prayer. It's a kind of praying that even though it hurt, even though it was long, even though they probably thought it was no point, they kept on praying and petitioning God. It was a kind of prayer that even though they were hurting, even though they were disappointed, even though it didn't look good, they prayed and prayed and prayed. Even though they had no idea if it was working, they continued to pray. And so when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says that he actually prayed a similar prayer. In fact, he knew he was going to his death. And the Bible says, I think it's Luke 22, that he actually sweat almost like blood, but it was perspiration. It was agony for him as he was praying because he was realizing that it was a time where he was going to set people free once and for all on the cross. Matthew 7:7, keep on asking and you will be given what you ask for. Keep on asking. Turn to your neighbor, keep on asking. Keep on asking. See, when you are asking, what are you doing? What are you doing when you keep on asking? What are you doing? You're praying, but when you keep on asking, what's actually happening? What are you really doing? What are you really doing? Ha ha ha, Conan. You get a free sweet treat on me after service. So, what did Conan say? Yell it out for us. Believing. Because when you keep on asking, you'll keep on believing. When you stop asking, what happens? You switch your faith off, don't you? Oh, this is a waste of time. Does anyone believe in God here? Come on, we keep on asking. Andrew and I have lived together for 32 years. Actually, we've been married for 32 years. That's a good thing. We've lived with our son for 24 and a bit years. We lived with our daughter for about 20 years. She now lives in Adelaide, as you've just heard. And more recently, Caroline knows a little bit about this. Jared's fiance, Amber, has lived with us a fair amount. Quite a lot, actually. And here's what I can tell you about living with these people. I know when Andrea is in the house by the way that she walks. I don't have to see her. She has a certain walk. And I know straight away, who thinks, well, after 32 years, that you get to know how your wife walks. You can hear it. There's a lot of things. There's little idiosyncrasies that we have. And so I always know when Jared comes home because he hardly ever uses the front door. He was most upset because we've just shifted into a new house and he didn't have a garage remote because Jared always comes in through the remote door. You hear it go down again. But he's the quietest in the house, except when he wants to play his music. And I always know when Amber's coming home because she's got the keys and she's fiddling with the lock and she can't find the right key. Then she drops her keys and then she finds them again and she picks them up. And when I used to live in my old house, my study was only about this far away through the door, and I'd just watch her because I thought it was quite funny the whole process that she went through to 5 minutes to get into the front door. And I know it's cruel, but it's fun as well. So, when she got in, I'd look at her and go, well, did you have fun, darling? And she'd go, Nigel. Anyway, when my children were much younger, who's got young children here? Give me a wave. Who knows that your kids have funny little ways, right? When my children were much younger, they both had their little idiosyncrasies. If Andrew and I were in our room, Jared was always polite. He was the quieter one in the relationship, and he would come to the door, he'd knock on the door gently and go, Mummy, are you there? never's daddy, "Mummy, are you there? I've got something I need to talk to you about." On the other hand, our daughter Sarah, there would not be in the slightest way any kind of announcement that she would just, the door would open, wouldn't matter what we were doing, and she was in the room. That's the way it was. Two totally different personalities. And as parents get to know the ways of their children, so too when we have a living relationship with God, do we learn to discern when He is wanting to get our attention. If you don't let Him into your heart, can we let God into our heart today? Can we really let Him in? Because when we let God into our heart, what happens is that you open your mind. If you don't do this, if you don't allow Him to get into your heart, really into your heart, what happens is you open up your mind to people who don't have the best intentions for your life. And you may even open the door to the enemy, who will bring you what you think is the right feelings, but who knows that when you act on feelings, you're going down a really bad path. Amen. Feelings alone. And feelings can often be destructive to your faith. And so when God lives in your heart, does God live in our heart today, church? When God lives in your heart, over time you will discern His way of walking beside you, His way of knocking on your heart, His way of getting to know you. When you live with God, you get to know how He speaks with you, knocks on your door, and His little idiosyncrasies, they get your attention. God will do His little thing in your heart so that you can trust Him more and more. And as we learn from Proverbs, walking with God takes time. Who knows that it's a journey? You don't just make it like that. God takes us on a walk, a long journey. Just keep looking to Him. It's going to be okay. And when you are staring down a dark road and you can't see a way through, God is going to turn it to good in your life because the Word of God proclaims it. And so even if it's looking terrible, you can know that God has got you. He's there and He will help you through. So on that note, talking about prayer, and would it be all right if I confess something to you this morning? Well, if I want. Don't worry, it's not that serious. But I've got to say, I pray for a lot of things, but I do not pray for patience. I do not pray for patience because that means it's going to cause me a whole lot of trouble. And I don't want it in my life. And so I really don't like it. And I'm going to let you know a few secrets, and some of you are probably already praying for me. What's wrong with you? But anyway, there are times if I have to wait in a queue, dead set. And by the time, you know how sometimes you just got to wait in a queue. I don't like it. I'm not patient. By the time I get to the front of the line to do what I need to do, the business that I have to do, and the lady goes, "Thank you," or the man, they go, "Thank you for your..." I go, "Well, actually, I wasn't patient." And the truth is that why did you have to have that conversation with that person in front of you? Why didn't you just do the business and get on? Because you knew I was standing behind you. And so I'm not a patient person at all, actually. This is all going through my head. I'm not actually saying this to the person, just in case you're worried. And it's all just going around in my brain. And if I have to wait for coffee and there's too long a line, see, I'll drive past. And if I see that there's a queue, I won't go and get the coffee. Because I just don't want to wait. I'd rather go somewhere else, or if I don't want to have a bad coffee, I'll just go back later. And so patience is far too much trouble for me. So it's something I'm not going to ask God's help for. And see, you're allowed to have fun in church, aren't you? One time, I was driving behind a person. I've got a big car. I've ridden my motorbike today, but I've got a big car. I've got a four-wheel drive. And one time, I was driving behind a person, and they were doing just under the speed limit. Some of you are like that, I know, but please. And you know, just so I just get a little bit closer, flash my lights. move over, buddy. You're not going speed limit. I'm not happy. And so that didn't work, so I just tailgated them a little bit. And they still didn't move over. And then they put their indicator on and they turned into the church car park and I realised I was their pastor. No matter the delivery system that God has for you, learn to trust His prod, His knock on your heart. The early church were being persecuted like we do not know anything about. And on top of this, they also have to trust Him for their own sustenance because at this time there is a famine in the land. You can go back to Acts, I think it's 3 and 4, where they shared everything. It's because there was a massive famine and they needed to help one another out. And so the church is taking up offerings so that people in church can make it through. And the writer of Acts describes that whilst they have to deal with the famine, they also have to fight on the other hand. And here's this Herod, and he's starting to persecute, and he's already chopped one of the key figures that he's gone. James is one of the three. Peter and James are known as the sons of thunder. And John, Peter, James, and John are known as the sons of thunder. And James was one of the guys. And now there's only two. Peter is a preacher. Peter is a bold speaker. And he's throwing Peter into prison, threatens the church and the purposes of God. And it's a time in the church when it's expanding and the kingdom of God is advancing, and yet there is so much opposition. Who knows that you're in the will of God when things aren't going right? When things seem to be going all completely, who knows that maybe that's the enemy and there's just a pushback, and as you push through, there comes a new freedom in your life. And so there is an opportunity and there is opposition. They go hand in hand. And whenever opportunity comes to the door, opposition comes with it. Opportunity and opposition, hand in hand. You and I will get to a point in our spiritual journey in knowing that even if God did not send it to you, He is going to use it, and it's going to be okay. He was killed, verse 2, he was killed by a sword. What this means is that James had his head severed off. Herod was trying to cut the head of Christianity to appease the Jews. And for Herod, it was an opportunity to advance his own human agenda. And we have the church praying, asking God to do something. Peter is in prison and the church is praying. But while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. Verse 5, some observations from the text. Peter does not know that what the church is doing. So Peter's unaware what is going on. The church does not know what Peter is doing either, but they are still praying. And sometimes you and I simply need to pray by faith, not even knowing if it's doing any good in our life. And sometimes when we're praying this way, the opposition does increase. And this is a sign that your prayers are working. Hold fast. Maybe you've had thoughts like me. Is it really worth it? Is it really worth it? Is it really worth continuing what we're doing? Is it really worth, because it's hard work? Is it real? Why don't we go and it's much easier in another country? I'm talking as a pastor, senior pastor of two locations, oversee port care. I've had those thoughts occasionally. This is not the time to drop faith. It's not a time to stop prayers. It's not a time to think this is not worth it. See, what is really going on? The devil is doing his utmost to defend his territory. And otherwise, he wouldn't even bother with you. Can we stand firm? Peter's in prison and the church is praying. Peter's hours away from his trial. Look at this. Let's go to verse 6. The night before Peter was to be placed on trial, All right. Did everyone get that? The night where? The night before Peter was to be placed on trial. He was asleep, chained between two soldiers, with others standing guard at the prison gate. Suddenly, there was a bright light in the cell, and an angel of the Lord stood before Peter. The angel tapped him on the side to awaken him and said, "Quick, get up!" And the chains fell off his wrists. Then the angel told him, "Get dressed and put on your sandals," and he did. "Now put on your coat and follow me," the angel ordered. So Peter left the cell, following the angel. But all the time, he thought it was a vision. He didn't realize it was real. It was happening. They passed the first and second guard posts and came to the iron gate to the street. And this opened to them all by itself. So they passed through and started walking down the street, and then the angel suddenly left them. Peter finally realized what had happened. "It's really true," he said to himself. "The Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and from what the Jews were hoping to do to me." After a little thought, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered for prayer. What were they doing? He knocked at the door in the gate, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to open it. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the door, she ran back inside and told everyone, "Peter's standing at the door." "You're out of your mind," they said. Then she insisted. They decided it must be his angel. Meanwhile, Peter continued knocking, and when they finally went out and opened the door, they were amazed. The day before, I'll come back up with a few verses, verse 6, the night before Peter was placed on trial, he was asleep. How do you sleep when you are on trial? Peter's sleeping. He's obviously not anxious. He's not praying. He's not writing his last letter. He's sleeping. How is this even possible? I don't know that I'd be sleeping if it was my last. I don't think I would be. Does anyone concur with me today? I'd be frantic. This isn't going to be turning out well. I'd be going, "Can we get the boys to do something creative? Maybe blow up the side of the prison or something." I mean, this is Peter. I mean, he's got the power. He could call on a few of his mates. Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. He was sleeping in between. I don't know how this is going to turn out for me. I don't know if this situation is going to get any better. I don't know what the doctor is going to say when I go back this week. I don't know what is going to transpire. But right now I know it's not good. And he's sleeping. I'm in a tight space. I don't know if I'm going to make it out. Peter's sleeping in between two soldiers. Can I make a bit of an assumption that Peter has grown in his walk with God? What did Peter know that enabled him to sleep between two soldiers? He's not just sleeping, he's sleeping chained between two soldiers. The night before, verse 6, Peter was placed on trial. He's asleep, chained between two soldiers. In the greatest trial of his life, Peter was sleeping. Sentries stood guard at the gate. There's two soldiers where he's sleeping, and they had to have shifts, so there was always four on guard at any one time, and he's sleeping. And maybe Peter was sleeping because of something that he saw in his spirit. Maybe that something gave him hope and a purpose for his future. See, there's a whole nother incident. Because Peter was there. They had a storm on the boat with Jesus. And where did they find Jesus? In the middle of a terrible storm. He was in the undercroft of the boat and Jesus was asleep. And And I can imagine that, because Peter was like the boss of the disciples, he would have gone up and said, how can you sleep at a time like this? And it's quite remarkable. Jesus says, oh, you have little faith, like, just, this is a, whatever. Modern technology, you know, modern, whatever. Do you think maybe Jesus knew something that now Peter is cottoning onto? Because Jesus knew when he got to the other side that he had an incredible mission. And there's these two men that actually lived in a graveyard that are full of demons, and he needed his power. And so, what was he doing? He was sleeping. R.I.P. Rest is power. Come on. Rest is... So just maybe Peter's thinking, I'm going to get to the other side of this. I've heard from God. I don't know exactly what's going on, but I know that God has done that little thing that he does to me. I've got a gift of faith that this is going to be okay. And so God is saying to you and I today, I can do more while you are sleeping than you can while you're straining. Get out of the way. Get out of your flesh. Get out of your anxiety. In the boat, the disciples say to Jesus, don't you care? Jesus says, this is how I fight my battles. See, God still has a purpose for Peter. And God still has a purpose for you and I. In verse 7, an angel says to Peter, quick, get up. It seems to me that Peter is not properly awake. And what would be normal was that the chains fell off and then Peter got up, but that's not the sequence we're given. And the angel told Peter to get up, and as he got up, then the chains fell off. The way we are wired, we think the chains are going to fall off. Lord, will you just release this burden from me? No, when we go to faith and we engage our faith and we do what God asks us to do, then what happens? The chains fall off. And so when you can obey God fully, no, you and I get up first, we look to God, and then the chains fall off. What do? We get up first. We get up first, and then the chains fall off. We always go to faith, and God moves in that space. Obedience becomes before our freedom. And freedom from needing to know the outcome before you take the step. Who knows that there, and I guess we all do it, we always want to know the outcome before we make the move. But that's not faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so when we move into faith, that's when God, you think Peter's really onto something here. If Peter did not act, if Peter did not get up as he was asked, his chains would have stayed on. And if you don't get up, he's not bringing you freedom. Can we activate our faith here today, church? Can we speak out the word of God over our lives? Whatever the situation is in your life, God is going to change the situation as you decide that you're going to stand for who he is in your life. And so, when I get my financial world in order, I've had people say this to me quite a lot, then I will tithe. I don't think that's going to happen. You can win the lotto for all I care. And I've had people say that. When I win the lotto, I'll give you a lot of money, Nigel. I'll buy you a boat. I've had that quite a few times. I'm up for the boat. If anyone feels like they'd like to give me a boat, I'm up for it. But if you're faithful in the little, can we just be faithful in the little? Just faithful in the little. God takes the chains off. No, hang on. Let's get this right. Get up and I will take care of it. And Peter seems to be going through the motions. In fact, the Bible says that there's no indication that he really knows what's going on. He thinks he's in a bit of a vision. He doesn't even realize it's true. Can I say to you, sometimes it's a bit like that. Life's like that. It's a bit mundane at times. It's a little bit ordinary. Just keep rocking up to church. Just keep going to Connect Group. Just keep praying and reading your Bible. No change, no change, no change. Keep getting up. Keep acknowledging him because he's going to come and change your world. And the miracle is in the following. The angel says to Peter, get up. Peter doesn't say, why? Why do I want to? When your leader says, can you do this for me? Don't say, why? Why? Well, I've got this to do. Can we just get with God's program? See, Peter doesn't say, who are you? Who are you telling me what to do? Can I have a bit of identification first before I... Get up. From a place of rest, it's easier to get up. Do not overthink everything. Thank you, Lord, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Quick, get up, and the chains fell off. And then the angel says to Peter, put on your clothes and sandals. If I were Peter, I was thinking about this. I don't think I'd worry about my clothes. I think I'd be out of there. I think I'd be out that door. It wouldn't matter. They had underclothes on. Well, they're more than what most women wear to the beach now anyway. So out the door I've gone. Boof. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know the outcome. He simply obeyed. And faith is getting dressed even when you don't know where you're going. And Peter did this. It's just obedience. Follow me, the angel says, and Peter followed. He didn't say, where are we going? Oh, I don't want to go that way. He just followed. Cooperate with God. Step by step. And maybe you're feeling like you have your own prison today. Maybe there's depression, timidity, trauma, hiding, guilt, shame, embarrassed. Just do the next thing. Acts 12:9. So Peter left the cell following the angel, but all the time he thought it was a vision. He didn't realize what was really happening. All things work together for good for those who love God. And are called according to his... Verse 10, they passed the first and second guard posts and they came to the iron gate to the street and this opened to them all by itself. Wow. The gate opened by itself. Only God can do for you what you can't do for you. You've got to go through it. For some of you here today, the gate's already open, but you're standing waiting. The gate is open. You have to go through it. In all sincerity, stay in the fight. Don't give up too early. God's going to move. The moment we think we collapse is the moment that God often brings a whole new world. Who's ever experienced how God's slow? Well, we think he is, but actually he's in perfect timing. Learn how to open your heart up to God when you're in trouble. Don't knock on the wrong door. Don't barge your way in without inquiring of him. Don't use the wrong approach, the wrong pattern, the wrong people. Verse 12, after a little thought, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered for prayer. What were they doing? The Bible says at the beginning that they were earnestly. Everything you need is in the presence of God. Can we say amen today, church? Can we stand to our feet, church, please? I want to finish this message with us actually being a little bit proactive. If I could have a guitar or someone, the music team, we'll get them up in a second. Oh, Lord, I thank you, Father, for what you are doing here today. I thank you, Lord, for this word, and I pray, Father God, that there would be a shifting in our hearts and minds today and over C3 Wellard, Lord, and that we would even push back the powers of darkness over this entire area because we won't back down. We thank you, Lord, that as we hang on to you, there is going to be a new season for us. There is going to be a way through, no matter what it is. I can't see a way through in my marriage, but God's got it. I can't see a way through in that area. God's got it. I don't know where God's doing, but he's got you. Allow him to stay in your world. And Herod came to get me. Herod came to have me. Herod came to destroy me. But God came through. There's people here that need to hear this. You pray for things. You wish for things. But the truth is, you don't really believe it. What happens when the servant girl Rhoda says to the people, they're all praying for Peter. That's what they were there for. And what did they do? They said, ha, 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 it can't be Peter. And even it's got to be his angel or something, because how can it be Peter? He's going to get beheaded like James. They're praying, but they're not actually believing. And I want us to switch our faith today and believe that that some of those things where there's disappointment, some of those areas in our life, even over C3 Wellard, well, I thank you, Lord, that it's no accident that we're here. And I thank you, Lord, that there's a way through. And I thank you, God, that we can be a people that pray and keep asking God, and we just rest in his power over our life. And we don't ask, well, why hasn't that happened? And why hasn't that happened? And why didn't that happen? Why? And don't blame other people. Can we just trust God today? And your freedom is through your obedience. And so we turn up and we keep singing and we keep believing and we keep asking and we keep praying and we keep trusting and we stop doubting his power. And when you're desperate, you will knock differently. So I want to ask this morning that there may be people here and you're in this situation like many of those people in that room, in that house. And you've been praying for something in particular, but really, I sense like some of you actually stopped praying now. And you've just let it go. And I feel like God wants to restore this morning. God wants to allow your relationship just to rest in him, and he's got it. And if that's you, I'm going to ask you to come forward this morning, and I'd love to pray with you. The disappointment, how can it be, they said. And Peter's at the door. He's just knock, knock, knock. He's being persistent. Knock, I'm here. Rhoda, come back. Knock, 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 knock. Who knows that our persistence, God hears it. And if you've been praying and you really don't believe it, I'd love to pray with you in a moment. Just come to my right-hand side before I'll get the singers up. Are they here? Otherwise, we won't be able to do that. Yes, you're here. Thanks, Crystal. Let's do that. We'll just sing a song in a second. I'm going to ask you to come. Just stand on my right-hand side here. But can we just bow our heads for a moment too? Maybe you're here today and you've not received Jesus as Lord of your life. Today, let that be a change day. Let today be a day of change. God is for you. He can do so many things that we think we can have it all planned out, but actually, God's got a better plan. We just don't see it yet. So if you haven't received Jesus as Lord of your life, or today, you know you're away from God, you've actually not been believing anymore, it's time to come home. It's time to realize that God is for you. He's not against you. And if you're in those two categories, while we're standing here, can I just ask you right now, just pop up your hand and I'll see it. You can pop it down again. I want to pray for you that you will receive his life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Let's sing this song, and as we do, whatever song it is, I don't mind. And if you know that you've given up, or there's part of you that just feels a bit dead, can we knock again and see God come through for us today? Come on, let's pray. And if that's you, please come and stand up the front this morning. Come out of your seat if that's you. You just feel like, make this a new day today. There's others, please come. Just come out of your seat. Would you pray?